Welcome to the episode on how to decide whether or not to do a holiday party. In today's episode, Laura Florin, HR and People Architect, discusses a timely topic on how to decide whether or not to do a holiday party. We know that a holiday party can affect both your employees' mental health as well as their perception of you as an employer of choice. So how do you decide if and how to have a holiday party, especially with all that is going on lately? We'll discuss not only this, but also why employees are people more than human resources. We'll discuss how seeing people for who they truly are allows them to bring their true selves, how to help your people take care of themselves, and how to truly take care of your people. Laura is a talented human resources leader with over 25 years of time working in the field. She has been able to leverage people resources into a growth engine by creating strong cultures. Those cultures clearly demonstrated the importance that employees want to be part of a company where you can enjoy what you do. Help me welcome Laura Florin.
Yes, I mean, I've been in HR for longer than I like to admit, but I started in the days when we were just becoming human resources from being personnel. I don't know if you've ever heard that term, personnel. Yeah. So I saw that change. So I had to go with that change, and then now it's changing again, and really understanding that. So probably about 10 years ago or over 10 years ago was when we really started talking about how the generations were changing. So that's why I've always been paying attention to how the generations are changing and what that means.
Yes.
Because you know, you've got to recruit them and you've got to also keep them. And right. I think the term millennial has become a bad word sometimes in corporate America. So everybody's like, oh, these millennials. So it's like, okay, well, how do I get you to, as managers, understand what they're looking for as workers? Because it's different than what it was like when I was in my 20s. And believe you me, when I was in my 20s and they said, oh, those Gen Xers, because you had the baby boomers complaining about the next generation anyway, when we were 20. Change then too.
Right. So that's interesting. I didn't realize this, but I think this is awesome to talk about where you've seen the change from personnel to human resources. And now what title do you see it going to?
I really see it going to being more people, because I think people having that title of like chief people officer and the people focused gives you even more of that balance. I think HR still struggles with truly being strategic and what it means in being in the forefront. When I've had the ability to work with certain business leaders and be there as we're preparing for mergers and acquisitions, how do you get a bill? How do you win a bid? So if you are trying to win a bit of business and trying to help the business leaders to explain, okay, here's how much the people are going to cost, and here's what we need on the people side, you're getting to be more of that strategic partner because you are in on helping get the business or sell the business, whichever pieces it is, but you help truly be proactive and truly be a partner.
Yes, I like that. And let me just throw out something just to see what you say. How do you feel about if people call it chief talent officer? I mean, what do you see as the difference between chief people and chief talent?
Well, having come from the entertainment industry, talent means something different. When I hear talent, it's been attached to talent acquisition so much, but so does, is it limited? Is talent limited versus people? People is something that's more encompassing. Talent can be, and where it gets confused is, you know, is it talent acquisition versus talent management? Has that really been defined yet? I know some companies use that, but I think there's been too much of a connection to acquisition.
No, and as I said that, I thought talent is maybe what you bring and people is who you are, right?
Yes.
And I think in today's world, especially, people are crying out to see us for who we are, right? It's not just, okay, I didn't meet your books today, or, oh, I didn't do exactly what you said today, or, oh my goodness, now I'm just a number. But if we can see each other for who they truly are, then people can show up truly as how they are, and then bring, you know, give you all they have, right?
Yes. Yes. And I think terming it also people, gets it away from being just that cost.
Right.
I've lived too long in a department that for many companies is a cost position.
Mm-hmm.
And all I look at is yeah, I know I got to have HR, but it's solely cost. It's not going to help me with the bottom line. Well, I think people and how people fit into that and how they can affect the bottom line is very important. And that's what I think is most important to the newer generations. While everyone says, oh, they're looking for more money and everything else, I don't think so. I think what they're looking for is what is your plan for me and how do you value me?
Mm-hmm.
And you want me to help you grow as a company. How are you going to help me? What is your plan to help me grow?
I agree. And how have you found...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say people starting out their careers, they're looking at the succession planning. They're looking at career pathing. They're looking at, okay, what is that plan? And when they can't see it or they don't believe the people above them have some type of plan, that's really when they start looking.
True. So I'm going to guess you found some good ways to do this. And I know that it is important to have an executive team that buys into it, right? Because you can have all the great ideas in the world, but if the team isn't seeing it all, then it doesn't really matter. So have you been able to see something successful? And if so, what is it?
I have been able to see something successful. One of the startups I worked with, I helped them to grow and eventually get sold. But I saw them, I saw it change. We drastically brought down the turnover. The turnover, we had a ton of turnover, and it was more of, are we hiring the right people for the right jobs? But then once they're in there, do I understand where I fit? If you sit next to someone who has the same title and you feel is doing the same exact job or treated exactly the same, but yet you're the star performer over the person sitting next to you, you don't want to feel the same as that person.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know that somebody is going to be looking out for you and saying, here's your growth. So by developing career paths for the employees, they understood, okay, where do I need to go? When you develop the career path, you also support those younger managers who can then explain, here's where you go, to keep them motivated. Because a lot of times you have younger managers don't understand, how do I really keep somebody interested in the company and seeing what the company's vision is going to be? So a lot of times career pathing works that way. Really looking at who your high potentials are in succession planning and talking to them and interacting with them or getting them a mentor. One thing that I found that really brought people, attached them more to the company was not only when they started, did we give them a buddy that was for being a culture buddy? How do I really, as I'm a new hire, get oriented into what this culture's like and start to fit in and get to know people? But also, do you assign them a mentor, which is someone who is one of our leaders, may not be in your own department, maybe in a different department, as someone to talk to about where am I going to go? What other things are there within the company? Because sometimes your high potentials, they come in one department, but they really are a high potential in another area or another function.
Yes. No, I love this. It's bringing up good memories for me. So let's see. How do you see exactly what you're talking about, where people want to see value, they want to stay interested, and young managers, new managers, they might be good at keeping people busy, but not good at keeping them interested nor engaged, right? So how do you see all this element relating to mental health in the workplace?
Some of it has to do with their own development. Are you helping them to develop versus when you're a high potential, the easiest thing to do is to turn around and say, you know what, when you have somebody that is a high potential, the easiest thing to do is to keep on giving them more and more work. Oh, we know this person can do it. We know this person can do it. Well, it can feel good being trusted with a new client, with something, a very important project. Are they getting to feel that they are really valued? So whether it's giving them some type of reward, maybe, or, you know, whether it's, hey, here's an extra day off, go take the day off, and you send them home and they say, but don't worry, you know, they may say, but I've got tons of stuff to do. Don't worry about it. Go take the day off. Forget about this place and do something different. It's finding different things to do. We would do a lot of these interactive type of events at our office to get people talking and get people feeling more part of a team, part of a family. A lot of startups will use those terms. It's one of the reasons why you have a lot of millennials or those in, you know, just starting the career, they want to go into startups because I get to touch a lot, I get to affect a lot, and I get to know everybody. And we become a close-knit group. And then they don't want to leave. Even though they're getting paid more money, they don't want to leave because you've become that strong team and that strong group together. And I think by blowing off steam as a team, it just works. So in one location, we did a Halloween contest saying, decorate your area. So create a team, take your department. If it's a bigger department, split it in half, but decorate an area and enter into this contest. So it was unbelievable the decorations we ended up having throughout the building, that they were all so proud of that. But you got to see, oh wow, this person really loves Halloween. We had one room or one team that took a whole bunch of, they severed parts off of dolls and hung them from the ceiling. I mean, they did all this great work, but everybody got to see their creativity, got to see them in a different light. And it really got everybody enjoying things. We would do certain events where we would end work maybe around 3 o'clock. It may have only been a couple hours early, but we would start the party and start these contests and everything else. And we would actually have people ending up staying till 9. Those people that would run out the door exactly at 5 o'clock weren't running out. They were hanging out with their friend. They were hanging out with their teammates and those that became friends. So once this company was even sold, a lot of people have stayed in touch. The company that purchased us, they made the big mistake of really not honoring what that culture was like, that they very quickly, within a year, lost about 75% of the people that I had hired. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't continue to bring people together. They started feeling like that number.
Right.
And sometimes that's the best thing. Early in my career, when it was going from personnel to HR, I was in a company where we didn't pay the highest, but we had about 80% of our employees were under the age of 35. And we went out after work for happy hours. We went and we did all these different things that it became your social group too. That you think twice, not so much, you think twice about, hey, I'm being offered 5,000 more, 10,000 more. I'm being offered some money, and it might sound better, but I'm going to give up a good portion of what my social network is.
Mm-hmm.
And do I really want to do that? So do I really love where I am? Do I really enjoy the people I work with? And do I really think that as this company is growing, it's going to take me with it?
Yeah, I love this. This is good.
Let me ask you a lot of stories.
No, yeah, and that's why I appreciate it. You know, you're bringing up some elements that I haven't quite linked. So you're reminding me, and it's like, oh yeah, this definitely works. Where teams and culture are so important for mental health, you know, because right. I'm focusing a bit on mental it health is. Right now, right?
So the other piece to think about right now, and I've unfortunately seen the ups and downs of the market, is hopefully we have come out of, we came out of a point in time with COVID where you had to lay people off. So, you know, there's another stressor is what's my stability? What is that security piece? Because we've got to answer it, and we've got to not go and do big holiday parties and all these other things until everybody's a little more comfortable that you're keeping me. Yeah. So while it might be great to get the people together and stuff, are we looking at, and, you know, have we really reinforced, hey, we're now moving forward. If we had to make any adjustments, it's done. Has anybody ever said that? You know, it's one of those things of how do we reassure people past the time when we maybe had to lay people off? And now we've gone into a time where companies are fighting over employees. So if you're sitting there saying, I'm not quite sure how my company is doing. I'm not quite sure, is my job safe? Now this other company comes in, is not only offering me more money, it's, you know, maybe I'll be better off with them. They're telling me they're more stable and they want me more. So, you know, right now with mental health and stuff, you always you have to think about the money piece. Are people's paychecks right? What has happened with people's paychecks? What's happened with benefits? And then reassuring them that the stability is there for them because you're coming out of this piece. And it's been very rare that I've ever come out of a time when we had to lay off people because the market, because the economy pulled back, where you come out of it and then all of a sudden there are so many jobs employers can't fill. And they're jacking up salaries. We came out of this very fast. And then that's now the big worry right now. I don't know if you saw the article from Sherm, which said the great resignation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other piece is, so how do you keep somebody, how do you keep someone from picking up the phone?
Exactly. So one more question on this, and then we're going to move to HR, you know, the HR leader themselves. But I like how you brought this up because it reminded me of how I had to go through this. So I want to hear from you, especially during this time where we're approaching holidays, right? Where it is generally a time of company celebration and gratitude for what you're doing. And let's party together so we can celebrate being together, right? But yes, if you have gone through a bunch of layoffs and maybe you still are in a mode of uncertainty because you're not sure how the books are going to end. You're not sure which employees you are going to be able to keep, and you're still in that. So how do you make sure that the people that you either know or are quite confident are going to stay and you need them to stay? So how do you take care of them and have, let's say, a party to say, we appreciate you, we want to keep you, but at the same time, to your point, that you don't give false hope to those who are going to leave possibly in a month anyway.
Sometimes you may have to make the tough decision of, do we do a party? Do we do a smaller group things like department managers taking people out to lunch, but then you say, okay, we want you to, you've been away from your family for 2 years. If now is actually the time you can spend with your family, you know what? We are going to close down between Christmas and New Year's. Mm-hmm. We're giving you extra days off and it's on us. What are things, what do you think is going to be important right then for those people? And maybe it's also choices. You know, in companies, we would always say, we're having this party. You want to go, go. If you don't want to go, don't go. But maybe giving people choices where they say, you know what, it's really not for me, but I would love to go out to dinner with my significant other. Okay, so here's your choice. Here's what you could do. What would you like to do? And you do other events to bring people together. The current company I'm in, they used to have everybody together in one location. And now, because of what happened with COVID, we've brought in all these people from different states. So we now have people, we're not going to pay to bring them all together for a party in January coming to New York when there could be snow. So there's a lot of questions for that. And it's really asking, so what's the right thing for your team? So many companies just rely on, okay, this worked in the past. Let's have a holiday party. Let's do all these different things. But what are the new things we can do?
Mm-hmm. It's a good time to think of new things, right?
Yes.
So when you say, hey, you haven't spent time with your family for the last 2 years, if you'd like this opportunity to take a bit of time off and spend time with your family, in fact, we might just close the location so that everybody gets to spend time right. with their family. Do you generally pay for this time off, or is it, hey, we're closed and this is time off, you can use PTO if you'd like, or how do you handle that?
For me, if I'm going to close, it's usually on the company. If I'm making that recommendation, and I've had a lot of different companies that would normally do this, there's a lot of companies out there that have just decided, you know what, between Christmas and New Year's, nobody does any work. Mm-hmm. Everybody can stay home. It's all on us. You're going to get paid. If by chance you need to break away and do 2 or 3 hours work, thank you very much. Just try to keep up on that stuff. But usually it's on the company. Right. I've seen companies in the past that have said, you know what, this is our slow time. We're closing down this week. If you want to get paid, you got to use your vacation day, or they'll actually say you're using your vacation days. It doesn't give people a rest. It really just makes people, you're not happy because you feel like, hey, I got 2 weeks vacation, but really I got 1 week vacation because you forced me to take this vacation when you want me to. So what happens if that's not when they can take off? What happens if their spouse can't get off? Or the kids are in school on the week you pick, then you can't travel. So you've actually lost 1 week of vacation by being told to do that. And it actually makes employees, it actually demotivates employees. They don't want to be there themselves because you're not allowing me to use the time that's important to me. Mm-hmm. So the more you do that, and let them try to decide what's right for them, the better it is. Yes. I know companies want to be consistent, but sometimes that's some of the best ways to do it is to be flexible for who somebody is.
No, I agree. And I appreciate you bringing that up because I've been in that position before. Or do we pay? Do we not pay? Do we force them? And it's like, you know, they've accumulated a PTO balance and it's like a savings account. And if we're taken from their savings account, then of course they're going to be offended, right?
Right. But you also have a lot of startups and a lot of companies going to, hey, it's unlimited PTO, nothing accrues.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another debate about that is that have we done that and then people don't feel like they can take off.
No, exactly.
They've tried to do different things. I think if you do it the right way and you have a good manager that says, hey, are you taking any time off? Take the time off, it's really left up to the managers. And the bigger question is if we want people to feel part of the company and that somebody is seeing who they are and being flexible for them, have we trained the managers on how do you really do that? So many managers will come to me and talk to me and say, how do I just tell the person, just do the job I paid you for? You're getting paid. You know, it's like, why should I thank them for coming in on time? Why should I thank them for doing, getting all their day-to-day stuff done? That's what they get a paycheck for. It's like, well, that's not human behavior.
Right.
That is, how do we really thank them for everything they do? not just the special things. Yes, it's great. Maybe we make a bigger deal of that, but how do you also let them know, I appreciate and I understand everything you do for the company to keep us going.
Mm-hmm.
My current position, one of the greatest things that happened for me or has happened in a long time is when I came in, you know, how many managers were calling me up and saying, thank you for being here. We're so happy you're here. Thank you for being here. Because somebody was there to help them with something that was lacking in this growing company.
Yeah.
And then that means a lot to me because somebody says, I am so happy you're here. And I still, even though I've been here about 6 months, I still hear it once in a while, which is great. It's great to have that type of culture.
Mm-hmm. So on that subject, specific to HR leaders, everything that we've talked about, for example, we've been talking about how do we handle these situations for the employees? How do they feel appreciated? How do we make sure the culture is great? But in an HR leader position like yours, where you are in a place where you have to help create this or help decide it, or have to bear the emotional burden from everybody else saying, why don't we have it? Or let's get this going. So the question is, how do you do this for yourself? And let me give you one more specific.
Mm-hmm.
On the example of PTO and vacation, right? So you're having this conversation with your executive team. What are we going to do during the holidays? Are we going to have a party? Are we going to show our appreciation and how? And are we going to have time off? But then you for yourself, I mean, I can't speak for you, of course, but I imagine it can be easy to say, well, shoot, when am I going to have vacation? I'm busy figuring all this out for everybody. So you're bearing a lot of that stress, and to the point of the employees that we've been talking about, some people do feel guilty for taking time off. They feel like they can't because they're so busy, or it's just counterculture. So In an HR leader position, we have to be able to lead that charge, but that can be hard because we have to overcome all the stigma of, oh my goodness, can I really take vacation? So back to the mental health, these are all examples of how we're taking care of our mental health. So How do you do that as an HR leader?
You know, for me, it was tough. I went from when I first started working, you didn't have cell phones. We weren't so connected. You know, it's the web came about and then the cell phones and the smartphones and all the other stuff. I always struggled to actually get that first BlackBerry because I was like, look, I don't want a portable way to see my email. it's urgent and you want to do a phone call, but you know, do I need to also train myself? And how do I unplug? Because I have been on the phone. I've been at Disney World waiting online and I've been on the phone helping a manager and stuff. And everyone would look at me and say, why are they bothering you again? Why are they bothering you? And sometimes I would say, you know what, if it's short and they do it when it's really, really important, I don't mind it because I'm saving a lot of work down the line if they guess, but stopping looking at things and responding to things. So waiting for somebody to call me with something that's urgent versus as you see emails, you're like, okay, this is just taking 2 seconds. Do we know when to turn ourselves off?
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, I have things to do. I the joke of, hey, I've killed myself to go on vacation, hoping that when I come in on Monday, I'm not inundated. And how many people say to you, oh, we know you're back from vacation. We didn't want to bother you, but
right.
you know, those types of things, especially when you're in a startup and you're a one and only.
Mm-hmm.
There is not 10 people. As we grew, I always fully believed in cross training in HR. So when I've overseen human resources, payroll, and all that other stuff, I always believed in whatever team I had, they got trained on every type of thing. And those things that maybe needed to be answered immediately could be answered by someone else. And somebody could move forward and try to make a judgment and try to be there and be a support for each other. When it comes to HR, one of the most important things is payroll, and payroll doesn't stop if you go on vacation. So you got to have that cross coverage that somebody's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But to make sure you can let your payroll person off so they can actually have a nice good break and not be bugged or not have to stop and process payroll. It's a tough thing because payroll is a tough thing. So I've learned more and more about how important cross coverage is because of those things. And having more and more people involved versus holding on to things. Even me as a leader, unless it was something like that was extremely super secret that the CEO is like, you can't tell anybody this, I would share a lot of things with my team. So then if somebody, if there's, let's say, a harassment investigation, that if the person comes in and is upset, they know what's going on and they can try to help the person versus them having to call me.
Right.
If I'm off. So I think that's one of the bigger pieces, is really truly getting cross coverage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Laura, I think you've truly dropped a lot of nuggets and I appreciate that. Especially your stories, you know, making them real makes it easy to relate and understand.
Good.
One final question.
Yes.
What would you say is your biggest challenge right now?
What's my biggest challenge right now? Well, it's really balancing and getting senior management to see human resources as that true partner and understanding what that is. In a lot of companies, especially when you're the first strategic HR person brought into a company, that's one of the toughest things because they've been doing things on their own and they don't realize, hey, this is something that the people group can help us with. Mm-hmm. And can answer questions for us, not just whether it's organizational development, you're trying to scale. Are you just not only looking at, hey, let's estimate salaries versus here's where we want to go? And can HR help you with that organizational design and say, well, if we get up to this point, do we need another manager over here? Do we need this? Do we need this? That there are things that in my experience, I could possibly give them. And I think that's one of the tougher things in actually truly transitioning a lot of HR into a people type organization.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome.